Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
All right. I'm excited to talk to Mr. Ryan Trembath about his new book, Signature Shoes, The Athletes Who Wore Them, and Delightful Pop Culture Nuggets. Ryan, first of all, congrats on the book. And second, I got to ask, you know, are you a sneaker guy at heart, or how did you come about this as a topic for your book?
All right. Thanks for having me. So basically what happened, you know, I guess you can say I'm a sneaker guy. I'm not really a collector, but kind of always just been into sneakers and especially, you know, signature shoes. So what happened was the pandemic hit and I was writing like a little newsletter to my buddies and everything, and just for fun because there's nothing to do. And
writing a newsletter to my friends is not the top of my list for fun, but I'm glad it is for you, Ryan.
Yeah. So it's just kind of some weird stuff like that. And then started writing about signature shoes and quickly realized, you know, I have way too much material for a little newsletter, and just going to keep going and see where it goes, really.
And so when I think of signature shoes, I immediately think of Michael Jordan, right? And I don't know why I thought that he was the first to really brand a shoe or really kind of come with that as like one piece of who he is. But this goes back a while.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes back to, you know, 1932 and Chuck Taylor, and then Jack Purcell was right after 1935, and it kind of just blew up in the 70s, but when the Air Jordans came out in 1985, it just changed everything, and, you know, it helped that they were, you know, technically banned by the NBA, so Nike just had a huge, you know, a really powerful marketing message, and it just basically exploded.
As you scroll through these and you take this kind of chronologically through your book about different ages of time and different people and different moments in which the shoes were the signature for that athlete, were there any that surprised you, you hadn't heard of, or just were quirky enough and you found fascinating?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the biggest one is probably Joe Namath's Puma Swinger shoe that came out in 1972. You know, he was kind of known for his bachelor and swinging lifestyle at that time. So Puma fully embraced that. And then there were some weird ones like Mary Lou Retton. She got a shoe with Pony in 1985. And also just weird stuff like Tracy Austin got one with Pony in 1980. But then in the 90s, you know, it seemed like everyone was just getting a shoe. Like, I think Glenn Rice had one with Nautica, which is pretty weird. There's a bunch of weird ones. And, Xavier McDaniel, he had two signature shoes. And, I mean, his career highlight is making one All-Star team.
Yeah, and that's what is interesting is the absolute expansion of people got shoe deals. Did it dilute it at all? I mean, I guess what I'm wondering is why didn't that come about sooner? It slowly inched its way forward from the 30s, 40s, and beyond until an explosion in the 90s.
Yeah, well, I think that's when, you know, the shoe wars between companies were just really heating up. You know, everyone saw what Nike did, so Reebok wanted to try their hand at, you know, signature shoes. And even though Adidas had, you know, had signature shoes prior, they missed out on Michael Jordan, so they tried to come back with, you know, Patrick Ewing, because he was the number one draft pick the following year. And, I mean, and then every company just started trying to get in there, like, you know, Spot Built or British Knights came out with signature shoes, LA Gear, just, you know, smaller companies like that. So everyone was really just trying to capitalize on what Nike did.
Going back a bit, I find it interesting that not only did the, you know, the shoes reach a level of success because of the person that were wearing them, but because they were caught in a moment of time, perhaps inadvertently so, perhaps not. You talk about the 1968 Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of these things where it kind of just resulted in free marketing for Puma, and it was basically a protest, and just because, you know, these Olympic athletes had, you know, all this fancy gear, and the protest was basically that, you know, not a lot of people can afford the, you know, shoes like this. So that was the protest, and it goes back even further with the Waring brothers Adolf and Rudolf Dassler, who started, you know, Adidas and Puma.
Mm-hmm. If there's one more you could tease, an athlete again that maybe from the World Cup eras or something like that, where the signature shoe really stood out for you.
Yeah, well, let's see, the 1970 World Cup, that was Brazil, and Pele, you know, he came up with kind of a weird deal with Puma to bend down and tie his shoe before the kickoff of the game. So basically,
wait, the deal was that he would do that? That was part of the deal?
That was part of the deal. He got $25,000 for doing that, and then he got $100,000 for doing that, and then a shoe deal resulted where he got $25,000 and 10% on every pair of shoes sold. So they came out with Puma Pele Brazil right after that in 1971.
Oh, getting paid $100,000 to tie your shoes before a game starts. That's not bad work where you can find it. Ryan, unfortunately, we're running out of time here today. Where do you want people to guide them to find this book?
Head on over to eckhartspress.com. It's spelled E-C-K-H-A-R-T-Z, press.com, and you can find it there.
That's great.
And, shipping now, so hopefully it'll make it to your doorstep soon.
That's great. Ryan Trembath, Signature Shoes, The Athletes Who Wore Them, and Delightful Pop Culture Nuggets.